coming at you, recorded, not live, bi-coastal from Stumptown and the moderately sized apple. That's what I'm going to go with this week. It's Can You Get to That? I am your co-host, Matthew Olson.
I'm your other co-host, Caitlin Best.
How you doing, Caitlin?
I'm doing all right. So it's cloudy over here.
Yeah,
it's real overcast.
A little gray.
It's been raining, actually.
Raining in Portland. Well, it is August.
It's August.
Like, last year was downright hellish, and now...
Oh, my God.
Now you've just completely switched into fall mode, or is it, like, terrible summer?
You know, it's been sprinkling. It's been okay. I hope it's not fall, though. But I am glad. I have to say I'm glad it's not. I mean, I'd be dying if it was 100 degrees.
I'm still adjusting to East Coast summers, but you know what? I moved out here full of hopes and dreams, and I'm not going to let a little inclement weather stop me.
To the concrete jungle where dreams are made of?
I'm not quite sure on that point, though. Let me check in with our guest this week. You may know him from the podcast Blank Check with Griffin and David, a podcast on the UCB Comedy Network. Very good. And he's starring in the upcoming pilot for The Tick, produced by Amazon, alongside Peter Serafinowicz and Jackie Earle Haley. Griffin Newman, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me here. You forgot to mention my most important credit, which is a lifelong New Yorker.
Well, yeah, that's...
As such, I can confirm that this is the concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Now, what was the first time your dream was made from the concrete, as it were?
Now, we have to make it clear... It's not that dreams are made into reality here. Dreams are not fulfilled here. This is where dreams are made, and then you have to find somewhere else that will cash them.
Oh, shit.
That's a crucial distinction, isn't it?
Yeah, so when you ask what was the first time my dream was made of here, it was, you know, whatever my first dream was. I'm still waiting for that one to pay out.
Come to fulfillment. I got that wrong from the song then.
Yeah.
A lot of people... A lot of people have misunderstood that over the years.
No, it's where dreams are made of. You know, so it's sometimes the dreams are inspired by, sometimes it's just environmental. That's where the dreams are made. It's a good dream factory, but it just literally is producing the dream.
I'm going to fucking buy a plane ticket right after we finish recording this. I'm done.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible place to live.
The East Coast summer is awful. It's like, it's too hot one moment and then just too moist the next. I'm sick of it already.
Sometimes it's hot and moist together.
Sometimes, man. But this aside, we're here and this week's topic is The Tick.
The Tick.
It premieres on Amazon on August 19th. Is that the same day that they're streaming it on Twitch?
I believe the Twitch date is later. I want to say maybe it's August 30th, but the Twitch news is new, so I haven't memorized that date yet. There is a 24-hour period where The Tick will be streamed on Twitch, but it'll only be for one day.
Okay.
It will be on Amazon. It should be easily findable. Certainly for the first couple of days, it'll be on the main homepage, whether or not you have a Prime membership.
Heck yeah.
Starting August 19th until September 19th, and in that time, they track views, and they look at social media responses and reviews. And if you watch the show, there's a little, I think, like one-minute survey you fill out afterwards. So they use the month to sort of tabulate whether or not there is sustainable interest in keeping me employed. And then, the season would be next year if people like it enough.
So you take the survey and you say, Griffin, yes.
You tick the survey.
Is that official corporate language?
No, they're going to fire me. Please, on the survey, just write Griffin, yes. There's definitely going to be, I haven't seen the survey, but I assume there's some, like, any additional comments?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Griffin, yes.
Just write, and then Griffin, yes,
hashtag
period.
Can you get to that, or hashtag CYGTT. They'll pass that info on to us.
Yes.
For our listener data.
Amazon's really good at passing along survey data to podcasts.
Yeah, we'll say that.
It's something they pride themselves on.
Caitlin, you don't have a great familiarity with The Tick, correct?
Nope. That's correct, yeah. Just heard of him, I guess I'd heard of him before. I just read the Wikipedia page today.
That's good.
Yeah.
You've gotten it through pop culture osmosis, though.
I mean, I've gotten the name of it.
You've probably seen a big blue guy with big white eyes and antenna, right?
I may have seen a blue man with antenna, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm like somewhat of an expert now. I was always a big fan, but then when I got the job, I just wanted to be an omnivore and know everything.
And you used to work in a comic book store, correct?
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct, most definitely. And I also, I was a freelance writer for a comic book magazine that never really got off the ground.
Oh, nice.
I've done a lot of jobs in the world of comic books. So I definitely was a fan, and I'm an obsessive person, so when I knew I had the job, I studied everything. So there should be an interesting counterpoint here, because I
in the flow of the game.
Yes. Yeah. I'm gonna have in my head a spider's web of possible connections.
Yeah, and I have a totally blank, just a blank field stretching out before me.
Well, you have 54 plus previous episodes of playing this game.
Correct.
That's true.
So you know kind of the through lines, like the super highways of Wikipedia,
as
it were.
I know a lot about Wikipedia, like Neo.
Yeah.
With the Matrix.
And like, I don't know, but maybe that disparity between our two relative abilities in two different areas of this game will lead to me being able to explain different elements of the history of the tick as a property in a way that would make listeners so excited about this upcoming new iteration.
Hashtag Griffin yes. The movement starts here.
Griffin yes. And I want to make this clear. It's not Griffin yas.
Yeah, please, please refrain if
Fuck
you were
that.
Thinking of that.
This isn't some meme-y bullshit. This is a movement, a genuine movement. Griffin yes.
Griffin yes. Should we click on random article and get this going?
Let's do it.
All right. Caitlin, take us away.
Electoral district of Merodion.
Okay, this is impossible.
You have now been inducted. Well, I'll say this, Griffin. At least it wasn't a sports-related stub article.
Yeah.
There are at least a few links to click off of here.
Yeah.
Sports like, stubs are hell.
Like Gynda and Goomery.
Yeah, like what? Such amazing links like Gynda and Goomery.
These are places.
Queensland, the state of Queensland. All right, this is so much to deal with. Right out the gate.
Okay, so in terms of hyperlinks, we're looking at Legislative Assembly, Electorate, Queensland, 1950 state election.
1960 state election.
Yeah.
Now, quick poll.
The word country.
Little abstract, maybe.
Yeah.
But quick poll. Griffin and Caitlin, Merodion. Mm-hmm. Does it sound more like a Star Trek world or a Star Wars world?
I think Star Wars.
I would agree.
That was my first thought, actually, when I saw the word, was I was hoping, oh, is this a Star... I saw Merodion before I saw Electoral District.
And it was triggering that part of your brain. It was firing those
neurons. Is that Nemoidian?
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not. Boy, do you wish it was Nemoidian, or do you really not wish it was that?
I mean, on one hand, too soon. My wounds are raw.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I would have a greater... I feel like idea of how to get there.
Yeah.
Because I know what the starting point is. I don't know what Merodion is.
I
mean, apparently other than that, it's a Queensland and was abolished in 1960.
Yeah.
It only existed for 10 years.
Must not have been that great.
No, it sounds shitty. Sounds like the Attack of the Clones of
oh my God.
territories.
I was thinking sounds like Star Wars, hoping actually Star Trek, because I've been dipping my toe into the DS9 end of the pool.
Interesting.
After I saw Star Trek Beyond, getting a little bit into the more adult and political version of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And a lot of electoral strife, a lot of, you know, interspecies conflict. And it would also, you know, if it was just, you know, of that classier mode, it'd lend a classy air to this episode. But now we're just people who don't know shit about Queensland.
I like that Star Trek Beyond really attempted to be political, and I don't mean that backhandedly.
Did you see it, Caitlin?
I have not seen it.
You know that it's directed by Justin Lin, my favorite guy.
The
yes,
father
I did
of
know
our
that.
Family.
I did
familia.
Know that, yeah. The last Star Trek movie, I saw it... what was the previous one called?
Into Darkness?
Into Darkness, yeah. I saw Star Trek...
More like Into Bullshit.
Yeah, so I saw Star Trek Into Bullshit.
Yeah, nice.
With this guy that I... sort of knew from college, and it was like a weird thing
between you and the guy.
What?
It was a weird thing between you or the guy.
It was a little bit of a weird thing.
Okay.
It was a little bit of a weird guy, and it was a weird thing.
Interesting.
And he insisted on seeing it in IMAX 3D, which
was
just like way too much.
Yeah.
That movie I saw it with two people who liked it very much, and I remember walking out.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Were those two people Tweedledee and Tweedledum? Because it's a stupid fucking opinion.
Zing!
I tried to be so polite. These are actually they're two people who I think listen to this show.
Great.
So, two dear friends of ours.
Nice to meet you.
But I will still say that I disagree with their opinion very much, and I tried to be as diplomatic as possible in the spirit of mature Star Trek, you know, encouraging diplomacy and reaching across differences to explain why I thought the movie was utter garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think hands down the worst thing that J.J. Abrams has ever done.
Agree.
And they were just like, it was fun. And you can't fight with the it was fun argument.
You can't argue with it was fun.
Yeah.
There's no response.
But that's my first word I would use to describe Beyond was like, that was fun.
It was very fun. Spoilers for Star Trek Beyond, such that I hope it gets at least you to watch it, Caitlin. But the action sequences involving the spaceships, it's not even a spoiler. I don't want to actually spoil the climax, but the
There's a drag race is what you're about to say.
Yeah.
Close. Very close. These are not 10-second cars, but I will say that the action in this movie... and I have to hope slash assume that Justin Lin had a heavy part in it, uses the Star Trek spaceships, which are mostly like boats. They're mostly like naval battles in space. He turns it on its head so that he's smashing them around like cars in space.
Naturally.
It's the biggest revolution to actually making the action sequences of Star Trek work, I think, ever.
Yeah, because usually they've been kind of disconnected because they're in ships shooting at other ships that are very far away, sitting calmly in chairs.
Yeah. Like the opening of the 2009 movie is like pew, pew, pew lasers at this huge target. And it's a little hard to follow, I feel.
This one's definitely more visceral in terms of the vehicular, the ship-based action.
He's like playing with Hot Wheels, but they're Star Trek.
And there's some nice like fucking hand-to-hand just like... Like oh, this is just like Shatner throwing punches, you know? It's just him punching an alien.
Yeah.
No, like crazy fucking insane fighting.
Yeah, Spock on top of a hover car.
Yeah, fuck that.
Has Justin Lin ever made a movie that was not just him playing with Hot Wheels?
I mean, Better Luck Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is a great film.
And I haven't seen, he did that film, what was it called, Annapolis?
Yeah, that's actually a naval movie, right?
Yes.
And it's got a couple of Fast and Furious people in it.
It's got
Annapolis with
Tyrese and James Franco and Jordana Brewster.
Yeah. I saw that on a plane.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one, but I thought that one was more of a like, they're like academy.
Yeah, it's a Naval Academy.
A little bit like Starfleet. But
interesting.
Now, Caitlin, for Griffin's enlightenment, can you tell him what happened the last time I took you to a Justin Lin movie? Or asked you along on a Justin Lin movie? I'm saying this all wrong. It was a James Wan movie.
Yeah, Furious 7, did you cry? Was that what happened?
Yes, that's what happened. You guessed it right.
Yeah.
With lots of like hand gripping and like, it was the day I turned in my senior thesis at Reed.
And Matt's roommate... were sitting next to me, just like white knuckle hands clasped together, fucking bawling.
Did you have that experience?
At the last scene in that movie.
Yes, I had that experience all three times I saw it in theater.
All three times?
Yes.
Damn.
And I'll say, I have met very few people who didn't cry. And my mom saw...
We run in the right circles.
Yeah. My mom saw Seven, had not seen any of the previous movies. She did it in the spirit of Star Trek diplomacy to try to bridge the gap between her and
I. Or just family.
Yeah. But I think she knew there was this thing that meant a lot to me that I talked about all the time that she dismissed. And she was like, I guess I should go see it. And she had no reference base. She saw it by herself. Like
first Paul Walker movie of hers.
Yeah, first Vinnie D movie. I mean, my father, I took him to see Furious 7 with me, but before the movie we got dinner and I was like, let me explain to you the basics of what you need to know about these characters. My mom went in with no context and was like, that's the most I've cried at a movie in a long time.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We're not a movie podcast.
No.
This week.
Not a Fast and
Furious
podcast.
If anything, we're an Amazon pilot podcast.
Hell yeah.
And we should click on a link. And I think, I saw you hovering over Goomery, Caitlin, and I kind of... It's a little deeper, though.
Think we should go to Queensland?
I think we should go to Queensland. But I like the idea of Goomery.
I agree.
All right, so step two, Queensland.
Queensland.
Okay, so Queensland's part of Australia. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm
it's
trying
a
to
top,
think of...
It's a top right part, it turns out.
Yeah, the part that, Brisbane. So, okay, my grandfather, he lived there, as well as my grandmother, but my father was raised there as a boy.
In Queensland?
No way, really?
Not in Queensland, but in Australia.
Interesting.
I think they might have lived in Brisbane for a time, but I want to say they lived in the southeast part, mostly. I might get that totally wrong. If my dad actually would listen to this podcast, he could phone me up and tell me how wrong I am.
Is where, the southeast is like where the big cities are, right?
Yeah, that's where Sydney is, right. If I'm not mistaken. Have you been to Australia, Griffin?
I've been to Sydney. I had one of my best friends in middle school move to Australia, and I went to visit him once. I went to visit him as an excuse to go to Australia. It was really nice.
In all honesty, if this New York thing doesn't work out for me, I've heard the work visas down under are very lenient, and I would, part of me would want to just connect with whatever informed my father at a young age.
Yeah, I hear that.
This is becoming a podcast about family relations.
Mythamalia. Yeah.
Family. It's about family.
not a hyperlink, but it just caught my eye. It says slogan or nickname, the Sunshine State. Didn't we already?
We got that's fucking art. You
Didn't
can't
we
take
fucking,
that.
Wasn't that our thing?
Australia. A quick aside.
Australia.
Well, Queensland actually. Let's not throw the rest of that huge continent under the boat. But Queensland.
It also says motto. And I think that's, is that Latin?
That's Latin.
Audax ad fidelis. It's just bold but faithful.
Yeah.
Bold of them to take the nickname.
Yep.
From, I mean,
it's Florida. Once. Florida's the Sunshine State, right?
That's Florida.
I always forget
Sunshine
which
State,
one is. I just know it's one of them.
Florida's a Sunshine State. It's also America's Wang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Queensland looked at Florida and was like, "They've got the other one.
Yeah.
We can steal the Sunshine State."
Yes, you fucking wangs.
Have you seen what one of the demonyms is?
Oh my god.
Banana bender. Oh, but it's colloquial. It says in parentheses underneath colloquial.
Oh, it's a real banana bender.
Now, Caitlin has a background in linguistics and is pretty much 9 times out of 10 better at accents than I am. Do you have a good Aussie accent?
Not at all. I'm not even going to try. Okay. Especially after she's knocked it out of the park that
night. We did Arsenal FC last week, and I basically recorded 45 minutes of not British nonsense, so I'm going to resist the urge to go Australia here, too. Yeah. Now, let's scroll down the page, maybe look at culture or any kind of, like, relation to the arts. Maybe there's a famous comics artist from Queensland.
We might have to zoom out to Australia.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any... Sydney's a big place for film production now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, if there's, like, a section that says movies that were filmed in Queensland. I feel like we could probably go backwards from there, but it doesn't seem that there is.
Yeah,
so maybe the answer is to try to go to...
Go to Australia.
Yeah.
In which case, we gotta zero in on what the hell their anthem is named. That's an essential part of the show.
Okay. Yeah.
We never
figured out how to play... Didn't we talk about playing the anthem every time we land on a country?
Yeah, well, that would require me, like...
That's complicated.
...expending slightly more effort in the editing stage every week.
Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh.
So, step three.
Anthem is called Advanced Australia Fair.
Advanced Australia Fair.
I've never thought of a country being described as fair before. I feel like that's...
Or advanced.
Just...
That feels pretty arrogant. Call yourself that.
I think it's an imperative.
Oh, let's advance.
Yeah.
Yes,
we
exactly.
are advanced.
Yeah,
right.
Verb, okay. Not adjective.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I see a culture tab here.
Culture and arts,
Yeah. Media, cuisine.
Let's see.
When
art.
They say rock art, they literally mean art made with rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't mean the art of rock and roll.
That's what I thought. I was like, that's a weird way to phrase it.
Now, there might be a thing where if you click rock art, it'll have a disambiguation at the top of the page.
That would be great.
Caitlin, what do you think the over-under on that is? Is it a little too on the nose?
There's no way that doesn't exist.
But Australia has a lot of great bands. I mean...
Men at Work?
Yeah, the greatest, maybe, of
all
time.
Perhaps the greatest band.
Why isn't their anthem just, I come from a land down under? Is that
That's
like
a great fucking question.
Anthem?
They need to do a rebrand. You know, it's time.
Just Australia, and the slogan is, where Men at Work is from.
Now, I see a hyperlink here that says Cinema of Australia.
This might be your forte.
This might be,
Because it might be the thing. Huh?
Yeah, I think that might be the thing.
I mean, Mad Max.
Mad Max.
All of them.
Yeah.
I think we're zeroing in on something here, because through Mad Max, I'm sure there have been comic spinoffs, and then
limited, not too many, but there were some for Fury Road last year.
I know that there was one that people hated because it mischaracterized Furiosa so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it mischaracterize her?
Well, it was just badly written.
You know how she's like the centerpiece of that movie and is so badass?
Yeah.
And the reason why I very rarely see movies multiple times in theaters. Mm-hmm. But I saw Mad Max multiple times in theaters.
Yeah, I saw it three times.
I saw it three times.
Yeah, it's the best.
Apparently the comic book just kind of goes the way so many ill-fated comic books do, of just a sort of low-key or not so low-key misogynist portrayal, just like not as empowered and so forth. I forget
the exact details, but remember it was kind of reductive. That was the thing, was it like made her a lot more simplistic and sort of stereotypical, archetypal, you know? It took away a lot of the interesting elements of the characters by trying to explain so much. That movie's also so good at, like, being so, like, it's so writ large and primal, but still has all this nuance, and a lot of its power comes from how much isn't directly explained, but is kind of inferred.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like doing a prequel comic where it's like 30 pages of Furiosa having conversations is a recipe for disaster. Yeah.
Here's the backstory to the whole thing. Here's why Furiosa is the way she is. Like, no, you don't want that.
I like that the movie has all these clues, but you have to kind of piece it together.
I like that the movie doesn't even go out of its, like, when Mad Max was recast, I assumed, is this like full-on reboot?
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. There's a cut of that movie out there that's just silent.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yeah. No, I love that I watched that movie and I think I know who Furiosa is and what her past is, but my interpretation is my interpretation. I don't want anything that can negate that, because the movie gives you that freedom.
Now, again, not a movie podcast, but would you give... Oh, no, I'm... Help me, Griffin. George Miller.
Yeah.
Would you, if you wanted to do it, give George Miller the reins of Fast 9?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no. Here's why my answer is no. Because I would save him for 10.
Oh, yeah. So you say get Justin back for the second to last installment, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that 10's going to be the last one, but it's the furthest out one they've announced yet.
Yeah.
I feel like a George Miller Fast and the Furious would have to be a spinoff, like a Tokyo Drift style.
Yeah, or
non-main series.
I would love to just see it just actually be like the Tokyo Drift equivalent, but in Australia. And maybe there's one or two characters we know from the gang.
Yeah.
See, in my mind, I think the franchise is inevitably going to cross over into like science fiction fantasy type area at some point. If they keep on making them, right?
Has to. At some point.
They gotta go to space at some point.
I think right now, to space.
Yeah, I think we're delaying the inevitable. I think they want to keep it on Earth for as long as they can, but there are only so many types of vehicles.
There's only so many ways they can heighten it to that point.
Right. Well, so I feel like you bring in George Miller when the franchise has gotten to that point and you're ready to own it. When it's post-apocalyptic, they're robots, it's in space, any of the above,
and
or
you're
all.
You're filming car scenes, but it's taking place on the moon and you've just color-graded Australia to be gray.
Thank you.
There we go. Caitlin, have you spotted any winners of links? We see a lot of... Now, we could do kind of Kevin Bacon game here, too. We've got a number of actors and actresses.
I know. I was trying to think.
That could be
here.
Fun.
I worked with any of these? I have not worked with Jeffrey Rush, Nicole Kidman, Cate Blanchett, or Heath Ledger. No, I wish. We have Crocodile Dundee.
Now, you can be honest. I think Caitlin and I would agree, too. Right, Caitlin?
I don't know.
You see where I'm going. I think you know where I'm going here with Griffin. You want to work with Crocodile Dundee the most.
Paul Hogan? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I think, without a doubt, that would be my top pick.
You think that's an actor? This is an actor. And then I hold out a headshot of Paul Hogan.
Yeah. Nice.
It's a big headshot. Yeah, I mean, Mad Max is here as a link. And then there's the general cinema of Australia link. So I think
there's also media of Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know how general we want to go. I think if we can find a laser focus, this person worked with that person.
Who did you say? Say one more time who else is in this adaptation of The Tick.
In this version, other than you. Myself, Peter Serafinowicz,
okay.
Jackie Earle Haley, Whoopi Goldberg is on it.
Oh, really? There we go.
As herself.
Oh, did they do like a View segment?
Yeah, it's like an alternate reality where she's the only host of the show. It's a one-person daytime talk show hosted.
It's not a flashback to her time on Star Trek The Next Generation?
We'll get there. Eventually.
Guinan is part of the extended Amazon Tick universe.
In my head, yes. I'm still trying to sell everyone else on that, but yeah.
We're trying to get the cross-brand Amazon to CBS, Star Trek diplomacy going on.
But let's not forget that. I'm happy you reminded me of that, because Whoopi has ties to everything.
Yeah.
I think Whoopi might be our key here.
She might be.
I think Whoopi's the key, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I'm willing to throw to either of you as the veteran players. I think we have a lot of ways we can go here. I don't know whether to go with a movie, go the broader cinema of Australia, or an actor. I will say the Mad Max link is a little interesting to me because it's a franchise that has existed in several mediums
oh, yeah,
and has
see,
more
is this
films.
Gonna be Mad Max franchise, yeah.
It is the franchise
yeah,
link.
It's a franchise.
That would be my inclination.
I think
that's a
good
idea.
Perfectly wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Step four?
Okay.
Step four, yeah.
Mad Max franchise.
Yeah. Caitlin, have you, I have to admit this, I haven't actually seen any of the other Mad Max films. Have you?
You know, I just recently finished watching
the originals.
The original three, yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, no, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I feel saying I haven't seen those films around you feels like I was worried you might look at me with ire.
No, I'm not one of those people who gets angry at people for not having seen stuff. I think that's stupid. I think it's a stupid attitude.
Do you have an exception to that rule?
The Tick, post August 19th on Amazon. Yeah, no, I just think if I hear people haven't seen stuff, I get excited being like, oh, you get to watch this for the first time.
Yeah, I've, within the last year, gotten to pull so many people into the Fast family, for instance.
Yeah.
And that's
best feeling in the world.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I get excited being able to implore people. I don't like the, like, how could you not have seen that? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it did become a problem for me in my adolescent years when I went to a school with, I feel like, a statistically significant portion of people who hadn't seen Star Wars.
What?
And, yeah.
Really?
Right?
At your school?
Uh-huh. At my tiny nerd school, yeah.
I thought you were going to say the opposite because it's a school for nerds.
No. So, I mean, Caitlin, you would have been my best friend then because you knew about the EU and everything.
Because I knew who Grand Admiral Thrawn was.
Yeah. You're on that Thrawn tip.
Yeah.
Griffin, notorious Star Wars buff.
I'm a Warzer, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they call us, right? Warzers?
Yeah, Warzers and Trekkies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're just hoping for the reconciliation between the two someday.
Yeah.
I'm not. I want to annihilate them, but it's fine.
Okay. Well, that is more of the Star Wars attitude, so.
Yeah.
Little Empire, little First Order there.
Hashtag dark side, am I right?
hashtag dark side?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think generally hashtag dark side.
I think always hashtag dark side, yeah.
You know, if anything, to balance the force, and there's a lot of people who are just like normies in their light side by default,
yeah.
Basically. But yeah, so even through cultural osmosis, so many people I went to middle school, high school with, I would just say, I would like, fucking it would be May the 4th, and I'd be like, May the 4th be with you, and they'd be like, what the fuck, nerd? And on one hand, yes, thank you, I needed that, but on the other hand, it's a fucking Star Wars reference. How can you not get one of the most obvious of Star Wars references?
Never seen the movies.
Yeah, I just think there
or
are a lot
around
of...
around televisions.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that I haven't, like, I'll admit, I'm like a real, you know, I'm a weekend warrior with Star Trek. I've never been like a huge Star Trek guy. I make my dalliances through different areas of the world, but I'm in no way an expert, but I feel like I know the basic references
you
one
know
needs
when
to
I
know.
Do this hand sign.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Yes. I mean, I've certainly seen enough to know that, but I also can like be like, I know the names of the separate shows. I just think May the Force Be With You is such a pervasive thing. Where, like, even if you just get it through osmosis by, like, seeing it parodied in other things,
now,
there's no way you haven't seen something else reference it, you know?
Perhaps there's some element of this that's willful obtrusiveness.
Maybe.
Hmm.
on the part of Matt's classmates.
Like, they're pointedly not engaging with Star Wars. Like, they know what may the Force be with
you is.
They
fucking know.
I think what you're getting at, Caitlin, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that you're suggesting they were pointedly not engaging with me.
Yes,
and
that's what I'm saying.
Bullshit.
It's fucking nerd. I'll admit, it's quite possible.
You're fucking nerd bullshit.
Yeah.
You'd say, "May the Force be with you," and this beefy jock boy would be like, "What?" And then they'd high five.
Yeah,
say,
and they go, "May the fuck be fuck you."
I do have to speak up for these people. I'm slagging on.
They're also your friends, and they're listeners.
No, they're definitely not my friends and definitely not listeners of the show, but they would not say "may the fuck be fuck you."
Yeah, is that "may the fuck be dot 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 fuck you"?
If anything, because they wouldn't appreciate how funny that is or be that dumb. They wouldn't go on either end of that scale.
Some pretty clever wordplay
now
from a big old dummy.
Do we think Whoopi has worked with Mel Gibson, just perchance?
Okay, so I was running that in my head and I can't think of when that would have happened, and I don't think she has worked with George Miller at all.
No.
There are a couple different potential angles I'm seeing here. One is there's the section here that shows like the big above the line crew.
Oh yeah, like co-collaborators matrix.
Mm-hmm. It's the matrix of which people have worked on which films. And so we have all the cinematographers listed here.
Oh,
and
Jesus
an interesting
Christ.
Fact is this pilot that I am on is the second live action version of The Tick. The first one in 2001, which starred Patrick Warburton, was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld.
Okay.
Who started out as a cinematographer before becoming a director. And this current one is directed by Wally Pfister, who was a cinematographer before becoming a director. And so I almost wonder, because they're two very notable examples, if there might be a way through there. But that also might be more complicated than we need to make it for ourselves.
I mean, I don't know who any of those people are, so...
You've seen Inception.
I've seen the movie Inception, that's correct.
The guy who directed this pilot, Wally Pfister, shot all of Christopher Nolan's movies save for...
Okay.
He figured out how to physically have the street bend towards the camera. That was all practical effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all lenses and stuff.
Yeah. And he also figured out how to make Ellen Page. He built her in a lab for Inception.
Okay,
now, this is very interesting. Caitlin's a big fan of Ellen Page.
I am too.
Do you have a little bit more backstory
on that? Ellen Page.
You for
and then,
backstory on the making of Ellen Page.
He made Ellen Page and then he inserted her into some earlier movies.
Yeah, definitely. They had to go back, so it was,
So like the movie Hard Candy before Ellen Page existed.
That was a retcon.
It was just a man like writhing on a table that someone was cutting his balls off.
Correct.
Yeah,
but no one was
there. There's a tennis ball floating there.
Yeah.
Kind of like how they did Yoda later on.
Yeah, and Juno was originally about Michael Cera impregnating a chair. He still fucked on the chair, but then he just came into the seams.
Right, he just fucked the chair.
Of the chair.
I feel like I got the sense of that when I watched that movie, and maybe that's why it didn't resonate with me. I was like, I just watched 2 hours about my boy Mikey Cera
coming in chair folds.
And I don't get this whole Diablo Cody thing.
Yeah, in answer to your question, Matt, big technical advancements in filmmaking, like, color, widescreen, Ellen Page, these things that really bust the doors open. They're hard to sum up in stories, because even when you talk to someone who was there, like Wally, it's like years of R&D and so many different creative teams and technical teams taking shots at. Like, Weta tried for years to make an Ellen Page, and it never clicked. They couldn't get the eyes right.
I'm guessing it goes something like this. You're on the set of Amazon's The Tick, premiering August 19th, streaming later that month on Twitch.
Yeah.
Finishing showing on September 19th.
Yeah, you got a month.
My birthday.
Oh, congratulations.
So it's kind of like a gift to me, hopefully.
Is that we take away the show?
Well, hopefully is that on the last day, they're just like, you know what? The response was so great.
Hey.
Greenlit, 3 seasons.
That's the hope.
You're on set.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to Wally.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, Wally.
I'm going to embarrass myself, but I got to ask.
what about this Ellen Page thing? And then he just, like, complete thousand-yard stare. Like, the whole history unspools in front of him, and he's like, I don't even know where to start.
I can't. I don't even know how to... I got so much on my mind right now. It'll take so much out of me to even start telling that story.
I have to watch the first two Mad Maxes now, if only because I just realized the composer is Brian May of Queen? Is that
true?
No.
Is that the same Brian May?
I don't know. Let's... Do we dare click on it?
No, I mean, we can open him in a new tab, okay. At least. We can set that aside.
But we can't look at it until we've done our due diligence.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you recognize these cinematographers from anywhere else? Because otherwise, I feel like we should try to act them, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think going through any of the cinematographers would maybe just lead us having to do a more tenuous connection through cinematography as a larger mm-hmm. concept. I don't know if this is, like, too easy.
Too easy? Caitlin, we never do too easy on this show. We always make it obtusely hard, do we not?
Yeah, always.
always.
No actor connections jump out immediately, and I'm sure if we clicked on any of the actors, we could find our way there.
I think we could figure it out.
It's kind of like golf rules. Like, we're trying to make par a few steps as possible.
Okay, then in that case, I did see that the word Academy Award was hyperlinked.
Mm. Now there we go.
Because Mad Max, of course, won many awards last year.
Yeah,
there we go.
Step five, Academy Awards.
Academy Award, yeah.
There we go. There he is, Mr. Oscar.
There he is. What a guy. What a good-looking guy.
You ever touched an Oscar?
I don't think
big,
I've...
Big man?
I've
big
touched,
actor man?
I've touched a daytime Emmy.
Hell yeah. Okay, when you say it like that, I gotta... Griffin, I gotta ask.
Yeah.
Who's Emmy?
Who's Emmy, yeah.
I could not tell you. This is what I can tell you.
Was this one of those parties where an Emmy just gets passed around?
Correct.
Smoky room.
I was friends with someone who at the time was on a soap opera.
Mm.
And I was in LA, and she was like, hey, you want to come to a party? And I was
like, sure. My Emmy.
I got there. It was a daytime Emmy after party, and her friend had just won.
Damn.
And she was like, oh, do you want to go to my friend's hotel room? And it was like her eating like room service fries and drinking.
Like,
and
I was like, fucking Emmy.
Can I hold it? I met her like 2 minutes before asking, like, hey, can I
touch
Emmy?
The Emmy?
Yeah.
Wow. How heavy are those things?
It was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
They're solid, right?
Yeah.
The daytime Emmys, though, still solid?
Yeah. Although, you know, the Emmy is, it's still solid, but the Emmy is holding that sort of globe, but it's all the outlines of the globe, if that makes sense. It's like a hollow, you know.
Hollow sphere.
It looks like the lines of a map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
In a longitude, latitude kind of thing.
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
Or like a basketball.
Yes.
Here's a fun fact about Oscar statuettes. It says, since 1950, the statuettes have been legally encumbered by the requirement that neither winners nor their heirs may sell the statuettes without first offering to sell them back to the Academy for $1.
Yes.
Huh.
I have known this, and an interesting fact is sometimes when Academy Award winners become destitute, mm-hmm. or their children are in a financial bind, and they know this mm-hmm. is a thing of value, they'll try to sell it to make some quick cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a lot of, disgustingly rich people in Hollywood. I know Steven Spielberg is one of them, who will go to the auction and buy the Oscar so that they can return it to the Academy, rather than let it stay in the hand of public collectors.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine having that much money that you like will spend $150,000 maintaining the legacy of something that in no way benefits you?
For a little golden man.
Little golden man.
If I was destitute,
yeah.
and my parents had an Oscar.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd give him a look. I'd give Spielberg a dirty look, but I would take his fucking money.
Of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course you would.
I wonder if at this point that's what they do. They're like, I know we'll end up back at the Academy because fucking Steve's going to come in here and be the highest bidder and we all end up happy.
Now that I know this information, I would just ring him up directly and be like, hey, fucker, I'm in a bad way, okay?
I need your money, please. Steven.
Now that you know this information, you're going to devote the rest of your life to winning an Oscar only so that you can get Steven Spielberg to buy it off you.
If promises of fame, fortune, and just like validation for being like an entertainer aren't enough to compel me to try and win an Oscar at this point, Griffin,
mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg's money, I don't know if it's enough. I don't, honestly, you know, I might just chill for the rest of my life on this green earth. But Caitlin, are you thinking Steven Spielberg money?
Oh yeah, I'd go for those Spielberglers. You know?
But what kind of Oscar would you try to win? Would you try to go what do you think the easiest Oscar to win is?
Oh, it's fucking sound editing.
No question.
Wow.
Toughest job. Easiest win. Weirdly.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to have a real ear for it, but then you're doing so much better than all these other gamooks.
Yeah, you know what's another interesting thing? If you look
all
at like
Merodians.
The sound editing category, often it's a team, right? So like you have an easier shot because it's like only one person can win Best Actress, but like six people can win Best Sound Editing. That's not the only category that's the case.
Do they get six statues?
Yes.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. They each get one?
I think there probably is. The Academy rules are very odd and very detailed, and they shift year by year. I think often in categories there'll probably be like a cap at how many people can win. Mm-hmm. They retooled because Best Picture goes to the producers, and often a movie will have like fucking 80 producers because one person or two people are really like producers on the day. Some people put in some money and they get a vanity credit. Some people are like the actor also gets a producer credit, you know? Mm-hmm. So now I think only two producers get to win the Oscar, and it's a big deal. If there's a movie like, you know, The Revenant that has like 80 producers, which two stand to win the Oscar?
Right. Now, I think it's only fair that if you have a large team, what they should do is kind of a Corona versus Coronita type model.
Yeah, go on.
With a sufficiently large team, you just get tiny, tiny Oscars.
Yeah, little baby like Oscars. Like Lego, like
maybe
Lego
they look
minifig
like babies.
Size.
Maybe they're not fully grown.
Yeah, they're little preemie Oscars.
Like they're actually, it's an infant. It's a statue of an infant.
It's Oscar in a fetal position, curled up at the base of the award.
Yeah, and there's a whole backstory about how it's really an allusion to 2001 and the end of that, you know, famous movie.
Yeah, but those people are fucking pretentious.
It's just because it's tiny. It's a tinier Oscar, so it makes sense that it's a baby.
I was going to say, in addition to sound editing being like a team of people, I feel like often, because like the top sound editing people in the biz work on a lot of movies per year and work with the same directors over and over again, it'll be like, oh, that guy is nominated for three of the five movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Like the dude works on all the Coen brothers movies and the Ang Lee movies. So he'll be like nominated against himself, which gives him a 20% chance of winning.
Now, I'm not a totally versed Oscars watcher, but do they, when they then do the sort of multi-cam cut for all the nominees in that case, does that guy get three cameras trained on him?
I wish. They don't fucking do the multi-cam for the sound mixers. That's what's wrong with the Academy.
All right, we have to click on a link.
Okay.
I love your verve and your deep well of knowledge here, and I love that you're on board with my Oscarita.
It's a great idea.
I'm gonna go with it.
I'll sign the petition. Caitlin.
But we only deliver listeners about an hour every week, and I mean, if we go over, that's just time that they have to pay us, you know.
I hear you. Caitlin, could you please click on Best Actor in a Supporting Role? I know exactly where we're walking now.
You know where we're going?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
Sounds good.
Step six.
Okay, so let's scroll down here. I think this page, yes.
It's got all the nominees on here.
List them all. Would you please scroll to the year 2006?
You're really taking the reins here.
Thank you. It all clicked together for me.
Caitlin is the master of the clicks. That's her official title. Caitlin, how are you feeling about this? I'm feeling like we're in the presence of...
He sounds like he knows what he's doing. He's a Wikipedia whisperer.
I see exactly what you're doing.
The year was 2006. Alan Arkin won his first Academy Award off of what I believe was his third nomination for Little Miss Sunshine, playing the role of Edwin Hoover. But right below him on the Wikipedia page, also nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year, was one Jackie Earle Haley playing Ronald James McGorvey in the film Little Children.
Okay, I have to, like, this is an amazing feat you've pulled here, but I have to hang you out to dry a little bit, or maybe not.
Okay.
I just want full honesty, because that's what we have to judge based off of here. Would you have been able to tell me it was Jackie Earle Haley, 2006, Little Children, for the character Ronald? I'll go with just Ronald McGorvey. Would you have been able to pull all of that?
I would have been able to do 3 out of 4.
Not the character name?
Not the character name.
Mm-hmm. I'll say 3 out of 4. Still pretty incredible. Good.
I did. I mean, you witnessed me saying to Caitlin when we clicked on the page, yes. Can you scroll down to 2006? No. I knew where yeah. it was.
The year enough is amazing Thank for you. Me. I think if anything, if I was a little children diehard. What do they call the fans of little children?
They call them little children.
I thought that was creating brand confusion, though.
It was, but yeah. they still haven't come with a better solution.
Anyway, if I yeah. was a little child myself, I might know the character name and that he was nominated, but not know the year. Well, I guess that's not true because...
Depends.
If I'm a fan, I know it's 2006.
It depends how hard you roll. Mm-hmm.
Alan Arkin, though, he really deserved it for Little Miss Sunshine, I think.
He killed on that one, but this was actually a good year. If you look at that Best Supporting Actor, there's not a weak link, because you got Arkin for Little Miss Sunshine, well-earned winner, Jackie Earle Haley in a career reviver. I mean, he had largely retired from acting after being a child actor, famously, and this was his comeback. One of the most sympathetic portrayals of a monstrous human ever. He's terrifying, but doesn't demonize his character. Shaman Hunsu in Blood Diamond's a great performance. Eddie Murphy in Dreamgirls. I mean, Eddie Murphy's one of my favorite movie stars ever. And Mark Wahlberg in The Departed, which I always cite.
Oh, Marky Mark.
He's fucking great in that movie. And yeah? it is like a textbook supporting performance.
Now, we're not a movie podcast, but...
I know.
But do you know if Mark Wahlberg gets mad if people call him Marky Mark?
I bet he does.
I bet he does, too.
I think you need to ask for permission before you do.
Yeah, it would just be the first thing on my mind if I were ever to meet him.
Yeah.
But not to ask politely. Yes. Not to just right. let it slip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think you look at someone like Jaman Hunsu in Blood Diamond. He's really kind of a co-lead, mm-hmm. you know? Like, he's supporting in the sense that DiCaprio's bigger, but he's, like, almost equal screen time. But Mark Wahlberg's got, like, 3 scenes in The Departed, and it's just a great and supporting performance. He makes a meal out of it.
Yeah.
I think any of those 5 would be worthy winners.
Well, only one of them is worthy of our click. Step 7, please.
Jackie Earle Haley.
American okay. film actor.
American film actor.
Caitlin, are you familiar with the work of Jackie Earle Haley? Because the thing that immediately comes to mind, I feel like, oh, of course, that's what I know. Of course, that's what I know.
What is it that you know?
Watchmen.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah.
So you are familiar, at least with some of these.
Okay. Now
this is a kind of a pretty solid run here.
The tick does not seem to be listed on his filmography.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he have a poorly maintained page?
Well, I had it in the back of my head this whole time that I wonder if anyone has actually been.
This is why you're the master
updating.
Of clicks.
Popping okay, that stuff up there.
So we got to scroll up, and I thought I had this tied up.
See, it's always the newcomers, Griffin. You get a little
too hot.
Yeah.
Now here's my thought. Okay, the last I checked. The pilot that we shot does not have its own page. We're trying to get back to the main page for the disambiguation of the tick as a larger property,
True.
Right? So there might not be a link to that, but they might, if we look at the body of this, talking about his career, mention that he's in it. No.
I don't see it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't see it nowhere.
But
what if we go to Watchmen and we go through comic books?
I think that's the move, but give me a second to double check because he's done some other comic book things here.
Mm-hmm.
There's Preacher. There's da, ba, da, ba, da, ba, da. Okay. I think fuck.
This is what always happens to us. Now there is the possibility that we could admit defeat.
No, absolutely
no,
not.
No,
I'm
not,
trying
Matt.
To.
We have 8 minutes left. Come on.
Right. 8 minutes
Seven
left.
Minutes.
Okay, let's move fast.
Yeah, we got this.
I think the thing we could do, my guess would be Peter Serafinowicz might have a more updated Wikipedia page, if only because he is the tick.
No, Matt.
I'm going to vote.
No. We need to go to Watchmen. We need to go through comics.
We're not going
through actors.
I'm
going to
vote for Preacher over Watchmen.
Preacher?
Okay, we need to go through comics, though.
Yeah, Preacher's a comic book and now a TV show.
Oh, perfect. All right.
All right, Preacher TV series.
Okay.
What step is this?
This is 8.
Let's scroll down.
This is step 8.
Developed by Seth Rogen. Huh. Evan Goldberg. Mm. Those boys. Comic. List of vampire television series.
Okay, I can do this. Click on list of vampire television series.
I hope you feel good about this.
I know exactly what I'm doing now.
Okay.
All right.
Please find for me the television show Angel.
Okay. Working on
if
it.
If we have to go through Buffy, we can do that.
Angel,
I know
there
Buffy's
we
are. List. There
Angel.
We go. Angel.
Angel. All right, step 10.
Okay, Ben Edlund, creator of The Tick,
No.
Yes.
Yes?
Wrote on, and I believe was an executive producer on this show. He did the most famous episode, which is called Smile Time. So if we scroll down here in production, I think he might be listed there under executive producers.
Oh, let's,
oh okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, scroll
on
up a little.
On that sidebar?
No, but let's keep looking.
He's got, you're dead certain he's got to be on here somewhere.
Yes, and the episode we're looking for is Smile Time. Actually, if we, let's scroll down.
We might have to go to a list of episodes also.
But we'll be able to, I think we'll be able to do that, but let's scroll down the page, because we could save ourselves a step. And, you know, God knows we've got to save that step.
Okay, so he scanning. Also worked on Five. Writer, right there, under writing, Ben Edlund. He's in between Ben Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, and Drew Goddard.
Got him. There he is.
And then right there, he was like best known as the creator of the satirical superhero character, The Tick.
You just had a fucking Darth Vader, I have you now.
That was
moment.
A comeback yeah. kid moment.
Holy
yeah.
shit. The Tick. We did it.
Because I thought I had made it, and then it looked dark for a second, and I figured it out.
Now, you took the reins. You schooled us. Yeah. 12 steps. Our best is 4.
Fuck.
But,
it's not a great record, but...
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the average, would you say?
Oh, the average is, I've actually crunched these numbers. It's somewhere around 8 or 9. So I think first time out the gates and with the clear thoughts.
Yeah.
Griffin, one day, if you ever decide to leave behind the acting world.
Yeah, probably.
You may be able to make no money doing Wikipedia race podcasts like Caitlin and me. Yeah.
But can I throw something out here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know I didn't beat the record. I know I was below average. I think we had a fun time, right?
I had a fun time. And that's what, that is what it's all about, yeah. really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing else to it. I just realized in all of this, and because we're a raw podcast, and we do this uncut, uncensored,
mm-hmm.
I was going to set you up for our very end of the show bit, and I didn't.
What?
So I'm going to prep this while we run down, who we are and where we can be found online and anything else we might have to plug. And Griffin, I'll turn it over to you first since you are the guest and you have things to plug.
Yeah, August 19th, you know, click on over to Amazon. Don't need to be a Prime member. The biggest thing I've been instructed to communicate is it is preferable if you watch the show to the end. Now, that sounds obvious, but what I mean is, in terms of Amazon being able to crunch the numbers, if you watch half the pilot, then decide to go do laundry, and then 2 nights later watch the second half, might not be helping out old Griffo as much as you could. So all I ask of you is just carve out a gentleman's half hour. You know, just a nice half hour, kick back, turn off your cell phone, watch it through to the last credit. I can also be found on Twitter, Griff Lightning, and my podcast is Blank Check, as you said. And if you follow those two things, you'll hear me plug The Tick even more on a annoying basis.
Well,
I'm Caitlin Best. You can find me on Twitter at BestKabest, BestKabest. Other than that, I'm nobody, you know. You can tweet at the show at Get to That. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/CYGTT. And gosh, we would love it if you'd send us topic ideas. If you would like, subscribe, review, etc. And Matt, what's your deal?
My deal is I'm Matthew Olson. As I said at the top of the show, you can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right. Griffin, I challenge you. Do you know how to spell my name?
What's right here? O-L-S-O-N?
It's right on my laptop.
Do most people misspell it by doing it the Mary-Kate and Ashley way, where it's O-L-S-E-N?
The last name, yeah, but you...
The last name is obvious. Spell the first name.
Oh, one T.
There we go.
Interesting.
Softball for Griffin this week, though.
Yeah.
I can be found on Twitter there. Maybe I'll unlock my account eventually so that the public can see it again. and maybe something to prompt that. I have something to plug this week.
Wow,
by the time this episode goes up. Yeah, I know. Caitlin doesn't even know about this. By the time this episode goes up, the first episode of a new podcast miniseries that Alex Klute and I are making. It's called Finite Jest. And over the next 6 weeks, Alex and I have tasked ourselves with finishing David Foster Wallace's Infinite Jest.
In six weeks.
Well,
you'll never make it. You'll never fucking make it.
Alex turns 27 in September, and he is determined that that is the age before which he must complete this book in order to have an artistic awakening, much like James Murphy of LCD Sound System did when he read the book and then promptly turned 27.
Oh, hot Christ.
So you're saying, like, anyone who turned 27 after the book was released was just fucked?
Just screwed, at least for that epiphany.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, went to an expensive four-year liberal arts college, and I had that
turned 27 before the book was released. Sorry, I realize I set that up incorrectly. No I worries. Really had to correct that. Sorry.
I just kind of want to use my big brain that I paid lots of money for, that my parents paid lots of money for, let's be real, to tear the book a new one. Mm-hmm. And the premise of it is we're reading it so you don't have to. This is not a podcast for people who have read the book or who want to read along with us. It is so you can fake having read the book.
And you're going to read all the end notes, right?
this comes up on the first episode, which will be out at the time of this episode. I have been reading the end notes, and Alex hasn't, and it creates problems.
Okay, you can't fucking read that book and not read the end notes and say you read the book if you're trying to have an artistic awakening before your 27th birthday. I'm sorry.
Caitlin, I agree wholeheartedly. We're working through it. And,
unbelievable.
That's all from me. I know it was a little long-winded, but Griffin, if you have any last questions for us before we part ways, we want to thank you again, Caitlin and I, for being on the show.
Please, my pleasure. Yeah. Thanks
Taking
for having
time
me.
Out of your evening.
Yeah, August 19th. I am Arthur. Watch me fly.
For Caitlin's sake, since she is not physically in the room with us, I will extend a hand in Star Trek like diplomacy,
reaching across the aisle,
and sort of across space time and
away. I do have one last question, if that's fine. Do have time for one last question.
One last question.
What if technology bad? Though.
Perfect.